Step and step. Yeah, premium.
I'm feeling attacked here.
Feeling a little attacked, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Step and step. Your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. Here in God Bless America, I'm the Tep, Greg Tepper.
Emanating from a foreign land far, far away, the Step. I am Matt Step.
And do we have any idea where VNA is? I don't think
no one ever knows where VNA is. She's just like a magical, mystical figure that just kind of appears and makes the podcast sound good.
Our producer VNA Moreno making us sound good. Hi, VNA.
Hello.
This is a remote edition. Because Step, you're up there for Canadian Thanksgiving. Happy yes. Canadian Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the pregame show for the real Thanksgiving in about 6 weeks. I have had turkey and all the sides, and it's been great. So it's hoodie weather. It's 49 degrees outside. I'm wearing a hoodie.
Great.
So yeah, it's awesome. So yes, happy Thanksgiving. Rude. Happy Thanksgiving to all my Canadian friends and family. And it's been a good week. So hopefully you can fight through this episode while I'm hanging out with my family.
Yeah. Well, we're all feeling really bad for you. That's hoodie weather. We're down here roasting as we have been for a while. Anyway, this is your week 8. Week 8 preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. And if you're listening to this, or I guess watching it for free, in which case, like, you know what? Like, I'm glad you're not having Canadian Thanksgiving. I'll say that.
Yeah. I think you should subscribe, and maybe you too could have Canadian Thanksgiving.
Exactly right.
That's you can get two Thanksgivings, you know.
Everyone in Canada subscribes. What's wrong with you?
Yeah,
you know.
My wife is a subscriber.
Thank you, Mrs. Step.
The poor lady. I don't know what she's thinking.
Wait,
thank you, Mrs. Step.
Okay, this is an honest question. Does she pay like to subscribe?
We bought us. She supports the brand.
Oh my gosh! Because like my mom does. My mom has a subscription, but like if my wife wanted to read something, I'd probably just like give
no,
her
I mean, yeah, no, she just is, let me I pay for it with her email, so I mean
okay, all right,
but I mean, boosting as my numbers. Wife says, my money is her money, or my money is our money, and her money is her money,
so. That's very true. It is all her money. Coming up here in just a moment, we're gonna have our week 8 game draft, a little week 7 recap, in which I ask Matt Stepp, hey, Matt Stepp, here are these undefeated teams. You buying this? So we'll talk to that. Our week 8 game draft, then we'll round it out with a hipster game of the week. And then, per usual, thankfully, because we have VNA here, we can have our America's favorite segment, which is, hey, what'd VNA write down? Look at her.
It's North America's favorite segment this week because it's a Canadian edition.
It is North America's favorite segment. But, Matthew, we will start, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week, presented by Community Coffee. I hope that is in the shot because I said that it would be. Community Coffee.
In the shot. Good job.
Thank you. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com. There you go. It's
a good day for Community Coffee up here. 49 degrees, nice and cool.
We get it.
Nice cup of coffee would be great right now.
We get it. Canada's heaven. All right. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ask me again in February when it's minus 17 and I'm shoveling snow.
Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. Last week, there were eight games that went to overtime last week. Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, can you name any of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams, all UIL 11 man, that have played multiple overtime games through 7 weeks? I told you I had a weird one for you.
That's a good one, yeah. Multiple overtime games. Has Jack Sparrow played in more than one?
They haven't. That was actually, I'll admit it, that was what I originally, I was like, it feels like Jack Sparrow's played a ton of close games, but no, yeah. they have not. That was, last week was their first overtime game. But here's a spoiler alert. Maybe look at the other team.
Ah, City View. Okay.
Wichita Falls City View has played too. They of course beat, Jack Sparrow last week. And then back in week two, they lost to Winthorst in overtime.
Okay. Okay. Has Shelbyville played in multiple overtime games?
Shelbyville has not played in a single overtime game.
Oh, okay. I thought last week against Garrison that went to overtime. I guess it didn't. So, okay.
The teams that played in overtime.
Okay.
Cedar Park has played in two, including a five overtime game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I'm going to save one for last. Queen City has played in two. Round Rock McNeil has played in two. Sealy has played in two.
Oh, Sealy and Belleville this past mm-hmm. week, yeah.
Weslaco East has played in two. And the Kings of Overtime, I present to you the Lake Belton Broncos, who played Round Rock McNeil in overtime back in week two. Mm-hmm. They played Georgetown Eastview in week six last week in week six, and then they beat Leander Glenn. They're 3-0 in overtime games.
Brian Cope, king of overtime. We'll have to call him that next time we see him.
3-0. It, you know, hey, listen, if it works, it works. But there it is. Your Texas High School fun fact of the week. Little overtime magic for you.
I like it. There were some great overtime games this past
there
week.
There were. Okay, but before we get into week eight, let's do a little bit of week seven. And I think the game that everybody wants to get your take on is, of course, Tulia and Dimmitt.
Big game.
mm-hmm. Really.
Fred Jordan's ball club is just rolling.
They're rolling. Listen, yeah. Tulia and Dimmitt is really where it's at. Okay, obviously there's a big game. DeSoto and Duncanville. Mm-hmm. Duncanville comes out, looks the part. Fantastic stuff. Am I on an island here that I look at DeSoto and Duncanville in that game and I think 6A is wide open this year?
I think it really depends on what your opinion of Duncanville DeSoto is. I agree with you. I think it's more wide open than it has been. Because I think Duncanville and DeSoto, although very, very good teams, are flawed teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird to say that because Duncanville just beat DeSoto by three touchdowns. But I think both Duncanville and DeSoto have big flaws. Duncanville was able to mitigate their flaw. DeSoto was not. DeSoto's big flaw, they have two big flaws. Their secondary is mm-hmm. a big concern. And DeCorian Moore is the wrong guy to leave. That first touchdown, there was no one within 20 yards of him. Like, that's just the number one receiver in the country, guys. We can't leave him all alone. Now, that one throw Keelan Russell made off one foot in the corner of the end, that's just ridiculous. Like, I don't
sometimes,
know what
yeah. about. Sometimes you just tip your cap and you go, all right, awesome yeah. job, five-star quarterback.
But the first touchdown especially, it's like, what are we doing, DeSoto? Like, you can't leave. If he's covered and he just goes up and makes a play, or he just beats your guy and he's got three steps in your guy, that's just a dude being a dude. Mm-hmm. But not 20 yards. Like, that was just unbelievable. Great. So DeSoto's got a big concern there. The second concern for DeSoto is their passing game. They cannot get the ball consistently to Daylon Singleton and Booby Feaster. They just can't. And that's a problem. And I don't know if that's a quarterback problem, if that's an offensive line problem, a scheme problem, but it's a trend that we've seen. We're week seven, week eight here. DeSoto can't consistently pass the ball. Their passing game is not near what it was last year. And the running game may be better with Tiger Ryden, Meissen Johnson Cook, who had a great game. And Keldon Ryan's a great runner. But eventually, if you are one dimensional, people are going to find a way to take away that one dimension.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Bill did it. And that first half, DeSoto could not move the football. And they got down 28-6, and they just can't come back from that. Like, it's not going to happen. Duncanville, to me, their big flaw, which still hasn't really been addressed, is their lack of a running game. Mm-hmm. Now, it's mitigated because you've got Keelan Russell, DeCorian Moore, and three other really talented wide receivers. But can they what happens in November if it's raining and cold mm-hmm. and they're outdoors and they get into a game like that? What happens if someone finds a way to double DeCorian Moore and take him away and now other guys have to step up? Can they consistently do that? Duncanville's lack of a running game is a concern. Now, will they? Could they still win a state championship? Maybe, mm-hmm. but I still think the lack of a running game is a bit of a concern for Duncanville. They just don't have that ability to physically dominate. And that's how DeSoto kind of came back. DeSoto got it to 35-20 because Duncanville was still throwing the ball and kind of had some incomplete passes. DeSoto was able to get back in the game. So I think both teams are flawed. I think Duncanville's got fewer flaws, and they're a better football team. I think if you're DeSoto, the chance of a three-peat is a concern. Like, I think, are they still among the mm-hmm. favorites in Division II? Yeah, but, like, I think South Lake Carroll could get them. Like, it's DeSoto's mm-hmm. not this unbeatable juggernaut that they have been. There's a path for teams to beat them this year.
I tend to agree, and that's kind of where I'm at. It's like last year, I think all of us who cover high school football would have been stunned if Duncan or DeSoto did not make the title game last year. Yeah. I think that they were so head and shoulders better than everyone, at the very least in the Division II bracket.
Sure.
But perhaps you can make the argument in 6A writ large. I do not feel that way anymore. And I feel like, especially because the two things that you mentioned, I think are notably like worse than they were last year, which is the defense. The defense was super underrated, I thought, for DeSoto last year, because offense got all the headlines, but the defense is really good. And then I know I'm a broken record here, but like DJ Bailey, like the dude just like made plays. And right now they're just not getting that. I also just think when you take a look at Duncanville as a whole, I think a team with a very good defense, I think they can get them. Because I'm not sold on this. I think the Duncanville defense is good. I don't think it's elite.
I don't think it's dominant. It's not as dominant as they were last year. Yeah. Now, I will say last week was probably one of their best efforts, because they really did do a great job against the run, but they were also putting 7-8 in the box, and they were daring DeSoto to throw it, and DeSoto couldn't throw. If they run into a team, let's just say like North Crowley, who can throw the ball on them, Duncanville's going to have to back out of that a little bit and change how they do things. I just mm-hmm. don't think Duncanville, looking at that game, watching it online, respected DeSoto's ability to throw the ball, and they played that defensive game accordingly. They said, DeSoto, you're not going to run the football against us. You're going to have to throw to beat us, and DeSoto couldn't.
I think the thing that I'm saying is like none of us are burying Duncanville or DeSoto. We both think they're elite, and they're both going to have – they're on the short list of teams that could win the 6A state championship. But I think this is the first time in a couple of years where it looks like the South Dallas stranglehold may be loosening a little bit in 6A.
Well, DeSoto lost by 3 touchdowns, and they're still in the top 10. Mm-hmm. So we still think they're a really good team, but they're flawed this year.
Yeah, most certainly. Okay, here's the other thing I want to do is there are, as you can see on Texas football or on the social media, our social media stuff, there are 96 UIL Texas high school football teams that are still undefeated right now.
And we're going to rank them 1 to 96.
1 to 96. Okay. 1, Atascocita. Yeah. Okay. Or actually Duncanville 1. Yeah. But what I want to do is I want to talk about a couple of them that are maybe not at that, like that upper crust that maybe we haven't focused on a ton. And just a couple of them, I just want to get your take on like product of a soft schedule, or are they just for real? And we just haven't talked about them enough.
Sure.
So I'll do one in each classification. 6A, Odessa Permian. This might be the first time we've mentioned Mojo all year. Bro, they're 6-0.
Yeah, yeah. They are, and nice win over Odessa to open the district schedule. I think they're going to be 7-0 after this week. I think they're going to take care of San Angelo Lakeview or San Angelo Central. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out in 2 weeks that they close the year. You know, we're going to find out about Permian with the way they close the season, because their last 3 games they go Midland Legacy, Friendship, Midland. Mm-hmm. So we're going to find out about Permian. I'm not ready to buy that Permian some sort of sleeper Region 1 pick. Off to a great start, handling business, but I need to see more. Not bent. That soft schedule.
Also 7-0. And to be clear, if you're 7-0, you don't need to listen to us.
We don't apologize for wins.
Actually, I'm not going to go 7. I was going to say Carrollton Creekview, but they got a big game against West Mesquite, which is going to be suddenly like the game of the year. Just like we all predicted. Azel is 6-0. Where are you on the Hornets?
I think they're a fourth place team. I think, but They've had a couple of games that have been closer than expected against teams that I don't think are all that great. But I do think they're going to get fourth, which for them, I mean, we picked them seventh or eighth in the district. So to get fourth, I think. But there's a big gap between the top three in that district and Azle. Although, I think that gap between Richland and Azle, a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, as somebody who went back and watched a decent amount of that Ryan and Richland game, I think they miss Michael Turner bad.
Oh, yeah.
I think you could tell. It's like,
speaking of one-dimensional, they're very, very one-dimensional. They don't got DeCorian Moore. So,
all right.
I will say this about Azle. Even if they get fourth, I think they had a good chance to get out of the first round of the playoffs. That bi-district matchup, very favorable.
5AD2, we had their coach on TFT today, Brian Rutter. How about, first of all, take a moment. Like, to beat Waco University, that's a great win for Rutter.
It's a huge win. It puts them in the driver's seat to host a first-round playoff game. Which is big. Now the problem for Rutter is going to be first round of the playoffs, because if they finish second, they're probably looking at getting the winner of the loser of Iowa Colony and Fort Bend Marshall, which is going to be really tough. Even though I don't think Fort Bend Marshall is as strong as they have been, they're still, Rutter's never won a playoff game in school history, so that's going to be tough. But to get them at Merrill Green Stadium, you never know. But Eric Izard for that program's done a great job. Tremendous win over Waco University that puts them, like, in the driver's seat to host a first round playoff game and gets them, you know, they're going to be contending. They're going to be playing potentially. We may talk about this game a little bit later for a district championship.
4AD1, El Paso Riverside. The Rangers are 4-0. Remember, like, last year, they were just a year early on Riverside. They were like everyone's darling.
First off, great job by their new head coach, Daniel Chavez. You know, Gary Recoder left late in the offseason to go to El Paso Bel Air, and Daniel Chavez got promoted late. He's done a great job kind of keeping that program. You know, Riverside a couple of years ago went to the third round of the playoffs, and they had Speedy Munoz and those guys. They went to the regional semifinals. So this is a team that has some playoff pedigree. Getting out of the first round of the playoffs is going to be really, really tough, though, because they match up with that really good Panhandle district in 4A Division One, where you've got Canyon Randall, Hereford, Dumas, Canyon, West Plains. Really tough district. But I think Riverside could run the table and go 10-0, but they might be a candidate for the dreaded 10-1, unfortunately.
4AD2, the Eagles of Canton.
I'm buying them to be a potential district champion, although, you know, they're going to have to play Sunnyvale coming up.
Hey, they have statistically the best defense in Texas.
Canton's defense has been unbelievable. I mean, you look at that, and they've given up, what, 27 points in,
like,
six games?
Four and a half points a game,
So, Will's Point, they got Will's Point this week, 3-3 team, but I think they'll get them. But that Week 11 game against Sunnyvale is, I think, going to tell us the tale. Now, we'll say by district, because Canton's in District 6, so they're going to go west in the first round of the playoffs. I could see them getting out of the first round. But once you start to head east into that District 7 and 8 with Carthage, Gilmer, Pleasant Grove, Van, all those guys, that's really, really tough. But what a job they've done at Canton. This is like the first time they've really been super relevant since a guy named G.J. Kinney was their quarterback.
Mm-hmm. 3AD1, every team that's undefeated is ranked. That's the only class we can claim that.
Okay.
A team you saw last week, give me your gut check on Palestine Westwood.
Offensively, they're a cheat code. I mean, KV and John Denman's not 100% and still is just unbelievable. The addition of him made a really – KV and Bryant's the real deal. I mean, me and Powers left convinced he's going to be one of the top players in the 2027 class. He's a stud. I do worry Westwood's not very big on either side of the ball up front. That second-round matchup – against potentially the loser of Columbus and Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really tough. That's going to be, but that's an unbelievable area. 11-0 Palestine Westwood playing a 9-2 or 10 Hitchcock or a 10-1 Columbus. Unbelievable. What a, in 3A, you don't see that kind of thing in 3A very often. So what a great matchup. Yeah, I just don't think they're physical enough right now. I think they're really good offensively. They'll score points on just about anybody, but I don't know if their defense can get stops consistently.
My claim for the legit most underrated, under the radar undefeated team, Matt Stepp, tell me everything you have on the Warriors of Santa Rosa at 6-0.
Coach Joe Mari Shalar has done a great job there at Santa Rosa. I think they are a team that could potentially sneak up and win a district championship. Now, Odom's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've played Odom yet, but that's going to be interesting. The bi-district matchup, they're going to have, you know, I think they could possibly get out of the first round, but unfortunately, I don't think the Warriors are a real regional threat. I think they're a nice story out of the Rio Grande Valley, and I think they can maybe, if they get the right draw, get out of round one. But after that, I think anything past round one would be surprising.
I think I know what you're going to say on this, but in 2AD1, tell me your thoughts on Post. I'll give you my thoughts on it real quick. I think they're a great team in the exact wrong region.
Yeah, that's really the issue here is they got to deal with 2A Region 1, Division 1, which is just nightmare fuel. And I think the district's going to start to toughen up a little bit. Now that win over New Deal is really nice. That's to blow New Deal out, really, really impressive. But you got new home and Abernathy coming up. I think it's going to get a little bit tougher.
Mm-hmm.
I think Post is another one of those teams, but I think Post, maybe if they get the right draw, could get to the Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they're ready to play with teams like Sunray, Panhandle, Stanford, Hawley, that kind of crew. That's going to be really tough.
And finally, 2A Division 2. Yeah, tell me your thoughts on the Tigers of Electra, who are 6-0.
Pretty cool story up there in the Wichita Falls area. They still got – they're going to have to get through Winthorst mm-hmm. and that crew and to really kind of prove themselves. But I think the job that their second-year head coach has done has been really impressive. You know, Josh McKitty coming over from Salina has really done a nice job with that program. They should – you know, they got past Seymour, and Seymour's really, really beat up. They've got a lot of injuries, but they were able to get past them. I think we're going to find out more about Electra in week nine and week 10 with Archer City and Winthorst back-to-back. That's going to be kind of the true mm-hmm. tale of where they stand. But this is a program that had low numbers. And I know you get to small schools like that, and you get a class or two with not a whole lot of boys. It could be tough to field a really competitive football team. And Electra kind of had that for a couple of years. So they had 2A numbers, but they didn't have their classes were girl heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just tough to compete in the small school level when you've got a class of 15 kids and 12 are girls, and you only have three boys. It's hard to field a football team. So they're kind of getting their numbers back, and so I think that it's showing they're a lot more competitive now.
There it is. There's Matt Stepp trashing every undefeated team in the state.
Yep. You're all terrible.
It's a good opportunity to put some shine on some of the teams that
sure.
are having – I mean, look, if you're 6-0 or 7-0, like, that's not – an accident. Like,
look, we're in mid October now. Like, they're you know, if you're mm-hmm. undefeated, you're doing something.
You can sneak your way to 2-0, but 6-0. No, we're sitting up and paying attention. All right, Matthew, it is time for our week 7. No, it's not our week 8 game draft. If this is your first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. Normally we're in the same room, but Step's in Canada. Mm-hmm. Here's how it works. Step and I go back and forth selecting games that we are most interested in. That is the most important thing. Games we are most interested in. So, for example, last week we could have chosen
Plainview 35, Wichita Falls Legacy 15.
How about Plainview? Big win for the Bulldogs. You could have taken that. And this week, hypothetically, you could take
Austin Aikens taking on Austin High.
Hey, how about that? That's some actual, like, interesting, has nothing to do with Austin High, but like playoff implications as far as Westlake's concerned. Because, you know, anyway, all that's to say, all you got to do is sell us on it as far as what game you're most interested in. We'll do 5 games back each back and forth, selecting games. Then we'll round it out with our hipster game of the week, a game that's off the radar that we want to talk about. And then we will hear where Steph's travels are taking them. And then we'll see what V&A, as you see in the little corner right here. I'm going to see if I can point to her. Right there, what she's writing
right down.
Down
there.
Hi, V&A.
Background on my screen, yeah.
Had a coin
flip. Good amount. Y'all just yapped so much.
All right, cool. Thanks. Thanks, Mom.
Welcome to Top Step.
Yeah, exactly right.
Should we, before the coin toss, should we talk about this week just a little bit? Just kind of.
This is a good place to start. Every week of Texas high school football is precious and special and wonderful.
It is.
And this week is a week of high school football.
It's not loaded.
It is
big hipster week.
I'll just say this is the weakest week of the year. Like I'm not telling you to check out, but I'm saying like if you were going to pick one week to be like I'm going to go like I don't know hang out with my kids or do something nice for the community instead of watching high school football, this would hypothetically be that. But don't bother with your kids or the community. Watch high school football.
No, we're sickos. We're going to games. Like I'm abandoning my family to come back to Texas.
Exactly right. Because he's got to go watch maybe a game that he's going to draft involving another member of this team.
Sickos.
So it's a tough week. I'll just tell you guys. So we're if you hear us struggling, that's kind of why. Had a coin flip for the show. I won the coin flip, which means I get pick 1-1 in this week's draft. Thank God. And Matt Stepp with pick 1-1. I'm going to go to the Houston area. 7 o'clock Friday night at Rhodes Stadium in Katy.
Live on Texan Live.
You're muted. Thank you. As
I can hear her through the control room. Even
as the Katy Jordan Warriors take on the Katy Tigers in a District 19-6A game. I think that this is the week that take District 19-6A race really starts to take shape.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's kind of been everyone's circling each other and stuff. Now we kind of get to the good part. And you know, look, for Katy, they took that loss early to Atascocita, and since then they have gotten their wheels back on, mostly because they got in the district play. You know, we've talked a lot about like the Aledo district winning streak, which is obviously remarkable. Mm-hmm. Katy has won 104 of their last 105 district games.
Pretty good. Seems good.
They are 104-1 in their last 105 district games. Yeah. And
you know who beat them, right? You know who beat them.
Tompkins, right? It was
in 2020, Jalen Milroe's senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Katy won state.
Correct. So, yeah, so I wonder which one they'd rather have.
Yeah.
But I will say that Katy is just back to – I mean – this you can just copy and paste this to time immemorial. Katy's just doing the Katy thing. They are winning with defense with guys like Jeremiah Smith leading the way, and you're never going to believe it, but they're running the ball with Jermaine Hill, and they've got the best play action game in America, Gunnar Nelson. It is rinse and repeat, and are they the most consistently excellent team in Texas high school football? I mean, from a year-to-year basis, just knowing what you're getting.
I think for the longest period of time they had been. Yeah. I mean, Aledo hasn't been doing it quite as long as Katy's been doing it, but I think Katy's, you know, yeah, it's probably right now they had the longest streak. Them or Highland Park.
Highland Park's a good call, too. Highland Park, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
It's just like Xerox copies of like 13 win teams. Anyway, here comes Jordan looking to crash the party. And look, if you're talking about the kind of team that has beaten Katy in the past, it tends to be newcomers. Like, it's not Cinco Ranch and it's not, you know, these programs.
Not Taylor.
Taylor. It seems they're new. I think I love this Jordan defense. I think I love it. And they've got a playmaker, Jimmy Alosoliafu. And
yes.
I was asking Powers about him. Did you know that his sister is that awesome softball player from OU, Jocelyn Alo?
Mm-hmm.
That's his sister.
And I believe he played at Katy, maybe his freshman year. So there's a little bit of, you know, he played at Katy as a freshman. I think he may have played varsity as a freshman. Like, he's a really good player. And he was hurt a lot of last year. Was never really healthy. Not really impacted Jordan's defense much of the year.
But Jordan's defense has been rock solid. They've been excellent all year. And offensively, they've got that dude in Andrew Marsh. And he's a freak show. If you've never seen him out wide, he is a certified dude out wide. And to me, that's what this game is. This game is, can Jordan hit enough home runs? Because you're not going to drive on KD. Like, you're not going to, you got to hit home runs, big plays. Can they do it consistently enough? I ain't picking against KD at Rhodes Stadium in a district game. That feels like a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to go. I know it's a home game for both teams technically, but like KD.
Rhodes Stadium just feels like KD football. Like when you go to Legacy, it's so new that it doesn't have that. Rhodes Stadium, when you walk in, it just feels like KD's home.
When we did the Gatefold cover shoot with Gary Joseph and Jeff Joseph, we went down there. And of course, if you don't know, Legacy and Rhodes, they share a parking lot. They're right across they're right across the street from each other. And we were going to do the photo shoot at Rhodes, or I'm sorry, at Legacy. And it was, I think it was Jeff Joseph who showed up first, and he goes, we got to do it at Rhodes, man. Like our fans, that's our hometown. That's our home. Like, this is nice, but like, this is home. Mm-hmm. And so we did it at Rhodes. Anyway, all that's to say, I think Katie and Katie Jordan is going to be a great game. It's my first pick. What's your first pick, Matthew?
I'm going to go 7 o'clock Friday night down at Pirate Stadium in San Patricio County. Sent in America.
Boy, this is hipster week.
We've got a good one in Class 4A Division 2 as the Cuero Gobblers come to town to take on the undefeated and fourth-ranked Sinton Pirates. And I think for Sinton, this is the litmus test to see, can you be the team that truly challenges Wimberley in Region 4? Sinton's passed all their tests so far. You look at Sinton's schedule and the non-district schedule that Mike Troutman put together. I mean, they have wins over Greg. The last three games, last four games, Tepper. Alice, Class 5A, a team went to the third round of the playoffs last year in 4A. Alice, Gregory Portland, another really good 5A opponent. Corpus Christi Miller, state-ranked 5A at the time. Cal Allen. It's the last 4 weeks for Sinton. They've run that gauntlet and gotten through it. Now
it's heady stuff.
They needed that week off. They were off last week, and I think they needed that week off to reset. You run that gauntlet so much that you probably back-to-back emotional wins. You needed a little time to kind of reset. And let me tell you, if there's anybody better at resetting, it's being Mike Troutman. I guarantee you, he had those guys working this week and ready to go. It wasn't a bye week for Sinton. They just didn't play a football game. They were getting after it, I promise you. And this is the test against Cuero. This is a game we circled when the realignment came out. We said, here we go. This is going to show us whether or not Sinton is a true contender in Region 4. And you look at Cuero, and it's been a little bit up and down for Coach V. Koch's ball club this year. You know, they get drilled by Columbus in the season opener, and we all kind of buried them, and they bounced back with a couple of nice wins over Lavernia and Yoakum. And then the Miller game happened, and at the time, we were like, okay, Miller's really good. Miller beat them by 35. We're like, but Miller's really good 5A team. But then you take the very next week, and Sinton beats Miller, and you're like, okay, maybe Sinton's really that good this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Sinton's that good. And I think Cuero's figured some things out as the year's gone along. Their quarterback play has been good. They got a junior wide receiver, Walker Dietz, who's really good. Jackson Marie's put up some good numbers. Cuero offensively has been really good. What's been concerning about Cuero is their defense. Like they have given up some points, you know, 38 points to Belton, 56 to Miller, 49 to Yoakum, 28 to Lavernia, 65 to Columbus. Like, defensively, Cuero's got some issues. And that's typically not what we see from Cuero ball clubs. Whereas Sinton, on the other hand, has been rock solid on the defensive side of the ball. Now, Sinton offensively, a little up and down, but I also think Sinton's played a tougher schedule. Tristan Hansen, Jacoby Jones, Derek Garcia, that kind of three-headed monster Sinton has on offense, been really, really good. But you know Mike Troutman's ball clubs are going to hang their hat on defense. They're going to be physical. They're going to be tough. I think in Sinton, the tortilla burgers are going to be grilling. They're going to be fired up. I think Sinton makes a statement, gets the win, puts themselves in the driver's seat for a district championship, and I think sets us up on that path for a Sinton-Wimberley regional final potentially down the road in early December. I think Sinton is getting to that point now where I think they are a legitimate threat to Wimberley come playoff time.
If they beat Cuero, right? It's obviously different as far as like we got to talk pound for pound, but for all we've talked about, Atascocita has the best resume in Texas. Pound for pound, they win this week against Cuero, and it's like, let's talk. You know what I mean?
And even Sinton's first two wins, Beville Jones and Port Lavaca Calhoun, like Sinton's played up every game. Sinton hasn't played a team at their level or below them all year. Every game has been at least a 4A Division I opponent. It's pretty impressive what they've put together. And they can run the gauntlet and go 10-0. That's coach of the year type stuff for Mike Troutman.
Totally agree. I totally agree. It's a great pick. Great pick. My second pick, Matthew. Let's go to Lavaca County. 7 o'clock Friday night at Comanche Stadium in Shiner, Texas.
Let's go.
That's right. As the Shiner Comanches welcome in the Fall City Beavers in a game that if you came to me in week three and said, hey, this is going to be third off the board in week eight, I think you'd have me checked into a rehab facility.
For sure, for sure.
Because these two teams, it didn't start off great, buddy. Fall City started off 0-2, and Shiner started off 0-3. And now, since then, they're both undefeated. They're a combined 7-5. And you're thinking, wow, what a garbage week of games if this is the second, third game off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Allow me to propose to you, Matt Stepp. Is this for pole position in Region 4?
I think so. I think you take the records for these two teams because you got to look at, you have to take in the full body of work and their non-district schedules. Yeah. Like Shiner and Fall City have played brutal non-district schedules. They played up almost every game.
Of the five losses, four of them are against 3A teams. Not 2A D1, 3A teams.
Exactly.
Full classification.
Yeah, exactly.
So they've punched up the record. They are perfect examples of like, you got to look beyond the record. Like Shiner's state ranked at 3-3 because we think they're one of the 10 best teams in the state. And you take a look at Region 4, quite frankly, I'm not sure Region 4 is some juggernaut, or at least not as deep.
Could this be the first of two meetings?
That's my question. This could be the first of two meetings because these two teams are looking like the best teams in Region 4. For Fall City, they started off 0-2, but I think the biggest change has been that their defense has come of age. Their defense has rounded into form. And they started just building the whole plane out of Braylon Johnson.
Seems like a good idea to me.
Just keep letting him do his thing. He's got 19 touchdowns on the year. He's been exceptional. For Shiner, they started off 0-3. But again, let me pull up their schedule. Their losses were two. Let's see. You're listening to live coverage of me looking.
Wasn't Hallettsville in there?
I believe Hallettsville is one of them. Their losses at the beginning were Hallettsville, Consolidated, and Poth. Okay?
Hallettsville 3AD1. That's 2AD2, 3AD1.
And by the way, that was a one-score game.
Yeah.
And then Altair Rice Consolidated, they lost 23-0 on the road.
We thought about burying them, but Rice Consolidated has turned out to be a really good team.
And then Poth. Like they might be playing in a state championship in 3A this year.
Yep.
All that is to say, they punched up significantly. Since then, they got a good win over Vanderbilt Industrial, which is another 3A team. And then they have a good win over a Luling team that they're just better than. And then last week, they opened up district play against Charlotte. Now, Charlotte forfeited that game. Are they forfeiting the rest of the season? Do we know that? You're muted.
Sorry. No, I think this had more to do with grades and injuries. I think they're going to try to get it together, but I think they just had too many guys banged up. That's another thing about 2A Division II balls. You get four or five guys hurt, you may not be able to field a team that week.
So Shiner hasn't played in 3 weeks. Since they played Luling back on September 27th. So they're going to be itching to get out there.
Oh, yeah.
And Carson Schutte, their quarterback, has really stepped up. They found their level. And here's the funny thing. Even when they were losing, their defense was playing really well.
Yeah.
Like, which is just, that's a Daniel Bedeker thing. Their defense is always good.
And this is a relatively young Shiner team. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not this is not Doug and Dalton Brooks loaded senior. It's a pretty young, mm-hmm. you know, I got my Shiner insider in Ray Gates, North Crowley head coach, who's noted, mm-hmm. noted Shiner alum. I think he's got like three cousins on the team. Guy told me they're very young this year. It was going to be one of those teams where I think Shiner, don't look at Shiner week one. Let's look at them week 11 because mm-hmm. they're going to be a totally different football team. And we're starting to see that kind of evolution throughout the year.
I think that's the difference. I think that you're seeing them grow. I think being at home is a huge help here for them. That's about it's an hour and a half drive from Fall City.
It's apparently an old rivalry. Apparently they used to play every year and it was kind of a heated rivalry back in, you know, not too long ago. So I bet there's a full house for this game.
I think it's a low scoring slugfest. I think Shiner's probably your favorite in this one. And I think that again, the winner of this game, I think is your favorite. Like Alec, we were talking about with Sinton, like Sinton can enter that conversation as regional, like as co-regional favorite. I think the winner of this establishes himself as a favorite to play in a state semifinal in 282. So Shiner and Fall City is my second pick. What's your second pick, Matthew?
I'm going to head to the Metroplex for what I'm going to call the last stand. As we have a game, I believe this is going to be a Friday night in Lucas at Leopard Stadium in Lovejoy. As it's Frisco Emerson's last stand, as the mm-hmm. Frisco Emerson Mavericks at 5-2 and 3-2 in district take on the Lovejoy Leopards at 4-2. And
you want to talk about two programs that feel like they're heading in different directions.
Yes,
like the Lovejoy's trajectory feels different.
4-2 and 4-0 in district play. And for Frisco Emerson, a team that made the state semifinals a year ago, they lose this game and they are in basically on life support for the playoffs. Like
they're in deep doo doo.
Because last week, Emerson, Emerson's got two losses already to Anna and to the one to Walnut Grove is the one that really hurts. Like Frisco
That's
Emerson losing to Walnut Grove to open district play 29-28. Then you turn around last week and lose to Anna 44-31. Now you're Emerson. You're looking at this and you got to beat Lovejoy or Melissa or maybe even beat both just to get in because now you're looking at tiebreakers. The problem is that they could be in a tie with Anna or Walnut Grove, and they're going to have head to head on them. This is a must win for Frisco Emerson, and I get it. It's tough. Their quarterback, who was kind of their do it all last year, Mike Hawkins, is now the starting quarterback at OU, and the offense just hasn't been very consistent. And I don't look at games against, you know, Denison, Memorial, Liberty. Those are games they should put up big points. But early in the year, even though they won these two games against McKinney and Reedy, you could kind of see the offense struggle. They put up 17 against McKinney, 21 against Reedy, and you're like, man, the offense just doesn't look right. And against Anna, I think finally the dam broke, and the defense just couldn't hold up any longer, and they got, you know, Anna just – They got into a track meet with Anna, and that's the last team you want to get into a track meet with. Well, speaking of last teams you want to get into a track meet with, I don't want to get into a track meet with Todd Dodge's Lovejoy Leopards because Lovejoy, you know, the book on Todd Dodge, especially when he's moved around and changed jobs, is it takes a year for the kind of things to get established. You know, first year at Westlake, they were okay, but not great. First year at Southlake, they were okay, but not great, you know. He gets to Lovejoy, and it's like, okay, they were great last year, went to the regional final. They lost a lot. They're going to be okay, but not great. Mm-hmm. And Lovejoy lost a really close game to open the year to Lubbock Cooper, which now we come to find out Lubbock Cooper's really, really good. Mm-hmm. But then you start seeing signs in week two. They go to Highland Park, and they lose to Highland Park by 7. And then you get into district play, and Lovejoy starts, you know, they blow out Liberty. They beat Anna in a shootout. The win over Melissa a couple of weeks ago was really the one that kind of said, okay, Lovejoy, they're starting to turn the corner. They're cooking on all cylinders. Jacob Janicek, this offense, lights out. Dayla McCutcheon just flipped his commitment from Florida State to Texas. A lot of momentum there. Lovejoy, I think this could potentially be a game where Emerson, I just don't think their offense can keep up. Like, I think Emerson's going to have – their defense is going to have to play the game of their life to come out of this on top, because I just don't know if Emerson has the firepower on offense with no Mike Hawkins, a lot of young guys, the skill positions to keep up. And I think at this point you're looking at Emerson and you're like, man, I just don't think they're gonna make the playoffs,
man. That's
and they're
going
to be kicking themselves. That loss to Walnut Grove is the one they're going to be kicking themselves on. But yeah, I mean, it's testament to how tough 4-5A Division II is, but I just don't see Emerson having the firepower on offense to keep up with Lovejoy on the road. So it's wild, but I mean, I'm following this game because I'm just the fact that you have a state semifinalist with four teams making the playoffs on the verge of missing the playoffs is just crazy to me. So that's why I like this game. I like Lovejoy. I think Todd Dodge's ball club is starting to establish themselves as one of the teams to beat in Region 1.
Yeah, it feels like a high stakes game there, for especially on one side of it with Emerson. And for Lovejoy, if they can just keep that ball rolling, like, you know, they're going to become the kind of team you don't want to run into when the playoffs roll around. My third pick, Matthew. We've been to Houston. We've been to DFW. Let's go to Austin. 7:30 p.m. Friday night at Tiger Stadium in Dripping Springs as the Dripping Springs Tigers welcome in the Lake Travis Cavaliers in a game I'm going to call Don't Get Caught Peeking. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, let's talk about the game. We'll talk about the game. I really like this Dripping Springs team. They have that week one loss to Vandergrift.
Mm-hmm. Kind of got drilled.
Yeah, they got beat. Bad. They got beat badly, but since then they've rattled off six straight. Maddox Maher, their quarterback's been great. I think that Jack Tindall, their running back, is really fun to watch, and they have good balance.
He was really good in the playoffs last year, mm-hmm. and when he got hurt against San Antonio Jay, that really. They just didn't have enough firepower to get past mm-hmm. Steele in the fourth round.
They got a lot of weapons offensively. My concern for them in this game is that when they have gotten beat, it's been through the air. And Lake Travis can do that. They got Chasten Ditta. He's been great. They got a bunch of weapons on the outside like Josiah Thomas and Patrick Colby. And I love Van Hopping, the running back at Lake Travis. I think he is in many respects kind of the straw that stirs the drink.
I love the Lake Travis defense. Like, it's weird mm-hmm. to say this, but Hank Carter's got a really good defense there this year.
Their defense has been cooking, and I think that's probably the difference in this game and why I like Lake Travis in this game, even on the road against Dripping Springs. But here is the whole effing ball game, okay?
Let's hear it.
We are previewing a Lake Travis game in week 8. Matt Stepp, do you know what Lake Travis game is in week 9?
It would be the Battle of the Lakes.
Westlake looms in mm-hmm. a week, in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And this has got look ahead let down all over it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this, if they were playing, respectfully, if they were playing Aikens, then they could probably throw out a B-minus game and come away with a win.
Sure, yeah.
If Lake Travis is looking ahead to Westlake and they throw out a B-minus game against Dripping Springs, Dripping Springs will beat them.
Has Drip beat them the last 2 years?
I want to say
kind of had Lake Travis's number the last couple of years.
What a great question, Matthew. Let me see if I can find this real quick.
I know one thing. Dripping Springs will win the press box food battle because Dripping Springs, the catfish at Tiger Stadium is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Go to Dripping Springs and eat some fried catfish if you're in the media. It's awesome.
Let's see. Yeah, they've won the last two. They won,
and I don't even like seafood that much, but it's still awesome.
They won in 2022 and 2023 after losing the previous 8 meetings. So
there you go.
I'm just telling you, if Lake Travis is the favorite here, and they should be the favorite, I think Dripping Springs is secondary, gives me the willies. But if they're not focused here, this is the kind of team. This is Dripping Springs is a playoff team. They'll get you, and then mm-hmm. suddenly the Westlake game is not going to seem as important. So sure. Lake Travis and Dripping Springs is your look ahead letdown game of the week. Very interested. Show me the first quarter. If it's like 10-7 at the end of the first quarter, Lake Travis is probably fine. But if it's like 14-0 Drip at the end, it's like, mm-hmm. let's see.
And I think Drip, they were really young. They graduated. I think Jack Tindall mm-hmm. was really their only offensive weapon that they had coming back last year. So they kind of had to replace the entire offense. So you could see they struggled in 7 on, usually Dripping, and I know it's just 7-on-7, right? And I go back to these kind of mm-hmm. things, but we really use these kind of things. You could see the offensive struggles during 7-on-7. They didn't qualify for state 7-on-7. They had some growing pains with that young offense, but they're starting to kind of get it together, and they're playing their best football at the right time. Mm-hmm. So this is a really fascinating game. Interested in this one.
What is your third pick, Matthew?
Let's go to the Brazos Valley, Greg Tepper. Let's talk about a team that we've already talked about. As 7 o'clock Friday night at Cub Stadium in Brenham, as the undefeated – that's right. Have you heard the good news about the undefeated Rudder Rangers out of Bryan as they visit the Brenham Cubs?
So I got I put it out on Twitter that this was the first time that they've – the 6 wins is the most wins they've ever had in a season. Mm-hmm. There is some dispute here because we have them listed at a 2021 as like 6-4, but they made the playoffs that year. I think there's a forfeit in there that like I
or
think
a game that got canceled maybe. Or
yeah,
something.
I think there's something weird. All that's to say, I am comfortable saying this is the best season in Rudder history, plain and simple.
Yeah, agree. And I'll say this about Rudder. They got playmakers. They've got dudes who can go out and make plays. Jaquise Martin, if you haven't watched Jaquise Martin play, he is must-see TV, big-time prospect. And I love Coach Izar and his offense. He will find creative ways to get Jaquise Martin the ball. Running game, passing game, return game, they're going to find ways to get him the football. On the other side, you got Brenham. And let me tell you, if you have not heard about sophomore running back Jacoby Dixon –
holy cow, dude.
I think Greg Powers referred to him as a freak show. And if Greg Powers refers to you as a freak show, that guy's been around. That guy's – Greg Powers – me and Greg Powers are old. We've been around forever. And we've been covering high school football a long time. We've seen a lot. When Greg Powers calls you a freak show, you're a freak show. You're a certified bad dude. And Jacoby Dixon is a certified bad MF-er. That dude puts up numbers – like nobody's business. He runs through tackles. He gets in the open field. He's gone. Elite running back prospect. He's going to be one of the top running backs in the class of 2027. And Brenham's got a lot more than just him. They got guys who can put up, who can get the ball out. They've got a great the offensive line is doing a great job. And I've really been impressed with Coach Danny Young's kind of reestablishing some of this Brenham pride. And Brenham for years and years was just a traditional program that you can pencil them in third round of the playoffs or more. They kind of went through a little bit of a stretch where they first round playoff exits. They're starting to establish themselves as a team that's kind of going to kind of be reckoned with, and they're probably going to be around for a while. I like the wide receiver Chris Guidry. Jordan Harvey's mm-hmm. done a nice job kind of running the offense. Christian Prosper, Doyle Brown on defense. Brenham's defense has not been great. They've gotten into a couple of shootouts, but last week they pitched a shutout against Waco High, 56-0. That's kind of what you want to see from Brenham. You know, the previous couple of weeks, 42 points to Killeen, 51 points to Gilmer. And, you know, Killeen's a 6A, Gilmer's an elite 4A. The win that's really standing out for me for Brenham is that season opening win over Huntsville. Mm-hmm. That 39-35 win over Huntsville is really kind of what got them on the radar. And put me at putting Brenham in as a district favorite in District 10-5A Division II. I think this is a huge game. It's for the district championship. I think both teams are going to host a home playoff game, but the really big prize here is getting that number one seed, because the playoff path gets infinitely easier if you get that mm-hmm. one seed versus mm-hmm. a two seed here.
Mm-hmm.
Brenham's, as a program, been in these big games before. A lot of these kids have played in these big games. This is the first time really for Rudder to kind of be competing for a district championship. On the road, tough environment in Brenham. I like Brenham in this one over Rudder. This is kind of Rudder's first rodeo, and I think Brenham gets it done.
I think that you're right. I want to believe in Rudder. I wonder how much emotional energy they spent to beat Waco U last week. Plain and simple. Big crowd there at Merrill Green, like mm-hmm. big event. Now they got to gear up and go do it again on the road against a Brenham
That's
team.
A great point.
Might be a little bit too much too soon.
Possible, you know? Letdown game for sure. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So fascinating ball game though. And I'll say this, like Rudder, I think like Rudder's a playoff team, and like Rudder's going to be a tough. I think their defense is legit, and like they're for real, man. I think they're for real regardless of the context of this game. So. All right, Matthew, my next pick. Let's go to one of two UIL matchups of unbeatens.
Ooh.
Matt Stepp, 7 o'clock Friday night at Buddy Moorhead Stadium in Conroe, I believe.
Is that live on Texan Live?
You tell me, V&A Marino.
I have to double check on that one.
Maybe. As the we will find out everything we need to know. Let me make sure that. Yeah, it's at Moorhead. As the 6-0 Conroe Tigers get their biggest test of the season by a factor of about 30 as they take on the undefeated state-ranked Willis Wildcats.
I have breaking news. Live on TexanLive.com as called by Gavin Moritz. To the play-by-play booth. Gavin Moritz on the call. The legend comes back.
Oh, yeah. He's back, baby. Yeah,
Conroe Gavin's and back. Willis. Conroe is 6-0. And as we've said before at the beginning of this segment, nobody expects you to apologize for being 6-0. They should not. All of that said, Matt Stepp, I believe this is going to be the first team that they have played that has a winning record. They beat College Park and Grand Oaks.
Yeah, College Park and Grand Oaks are having better years than usual, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got those two wins. Mm-hmm. And look, I'll tell you, it's very easy to see how they win ball games. Their defense is legit. Their defense is very good. Cedric Hardeman's done an unbelievable job with that defense, giving up about 13 points per game. And they are playmaking dudes.
They got Dorian Brew, who moved in last year from Ohio. His dad's a coach at Conroe, moved in kind of middle of the last year. Odd deal. You usually don't see guys like that move in so late, but he's fully ingratiated in the defense. He's made a huge difference.
They are playmaking dudes. I will tell you this. They have got another player, Jaden Ramos. Okay. This guy has got 17 tackles for loss and 7 sacks on the year. They are living in opponents' backfields. Their defense is legit.
Yeah, Brew's committed to Oregon. I mean, you can see how you got a guy committed to Oregon. Your defense is probably going to be okay.
And the other thing they're doing, I mean, look, they're just running the damn ball. Okay, Jermeco Green and Christian Nunley, their quarterback, they are just running the damn ball, and they're doing it effectively. They're averaging more than 8 yards a carry, again, against some competition that I think they're better than, but numbers are numbers, and 6-0 is 6-0. Here comes Willis, and a Willis team that is tested, a Willis team that is certified, and a Willis team whose offense feels like it's on another planet right now.
Yeah, I kind of thought, oh, DJ Lagway is graduating. Oh. Willis is going to take a step back. No, they're just doing that thing.
Jermaine Bishop, Powers was telling me this. What'd you drop?
My wedding ring. Picked it up, though. We're good. Disaster averted.
Powers was telling me, Jermaine Bishop's playing both ways for them.
Yeah.
At 6A. Like, this is Travis Hunter stuff. Yes. Like, and he's a freak show.
That's
out
a
there.
Great comp. Jermaine Bishop is kind of the Texas high school football Travis Hunter.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. What he did. I mean, he's got 10 receiving touchdowns on the year. And then let me see if they've got defensive numbers for him. He's got, he's got 2 interceptions. I mean, that's what he is. He is a freak show out there. Jack Emerson's been fantastic offensively. Their defense has been good. It's been good enough. This is, to me, can the Conroe defense hold them in the ballgame? Conroe is more or less built to win games like 31-17.
If that, or yeah. Like Conroe, 20, yeah, kick this game in the 20s, yeah.
28-21 is how they want to win this ballgame. If this get every point above 30 that Willis gets, it like the chance of winning gets exponentially worse.
Yeah, Willis gets into a 49-42 game, you know, basically like
cool. Yeah.
Whenever. Yeah. It's like whatever. You know, Willis does that in seventh grade. You know, seventh grade B team games are 49-42 in Willis. Like, that's not a big deal for them.
Yeah.
Conroe, it's a lot different. So
Conroe has got to control the pace in this one. They have got to control the pace, and they cannot get this into a firefight because they're not going to win that against Willis. I like Willis in this one. This feels like this feels like a huge test for them. And for, I'll tell you this, for Conroe, like, they got the tests are still ahead of them, because I believe in 2 weeks you get the Woodlands, and so then we'll really, really know about.
Yeah, that. They got the Woodlands in 2 weeks. So I mean, this is going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, Conroe can somehow win this game and goes into that Woodlands game undefeated. Let me tell you, buddy, Conroe, Montgomery County is going to be on fire when those two teams great. Play. That's an old. Mm-hmm. There's Conroe and the Woodlands. That's a old bitter rivalry that it's been really, really one sided. Mm-hmm. And the Conroe people would love nothing more than to come into that game undefeated and to beat Woodlands and clinch a district championship. Be big doings in Montgomery County. Mm-hmm. They might build a statue of Cedric Hardeman.
Yeah, I was going to say they might
a statue.
Draw the bust right there.
Yeah.
What is your fourth pick, Matthew?
Let's go up to the Texas Panhandle. Mm-hmm. Let's go Friday night, 7 o'clock at Happy State Bank Stadium, better known as Kimbrough Stadium in Canyon, Texas, as the hostile herd, the Hereford Whitefaces, come to town to take on state-ranked Canyon Randall in a huge game in that really tough District 2-4A Division 1. And I want to start first off with the Hereford Whitefaces, open up district play. Nice bounce back. And they kind of took it on the chin to close non-district against Seminole. We think Seminole is really good, obviously. Mm-hmm. Bounced back nicely with a 35-14 win over Pampa to improve to 5-1. Caleb Rodriguez, Brylan Lopez, that 1-2 punch on the Hereford offense has been really, really good. The defense for Hereford's been great. You know, other than the Seminole game, they've been pretty consistently good all year. They've got some nice wins on the resume. You know, you look at Hereford's schedule, and they got a nice win over Lubbock Estacado, really nice win over a 5A Plainview. So they've got some good wins on the resume. Here's the big test. State-ranked Canyon Randall. And I don't think we've talked enough about the job that Dan Sherwood has done at Canyon Randall. Mm-hmm. Year two, coming over from Amarillo Caprock, taking over a Canyon Randall program that honestly kind of got gutted. You know, when West Plains opened up there in Canyon ISD, it cut into a lot of Canyon Randall's talent base. And they went with a lot of young guys last year, and they struggled early on. They got the wheels back on. Got to the area round of the playoffs. This year, they brought everyone back. Dylan Ray, Caden Miller. Dylan Ray is a really, really special running back, really athletic, really dynamic. And I think this Randall team, all that experience, those growing pains they went through last year, it's really coming together for them. And I think right now, you look at Canyon Randall and their schedule, you know, they also nice win over Plainview. They blew out Wichita Falls Legacy, blew out Lubbock Estacado. Opened up district on the road, going to Dumas and beating Dumas by 10. That's tough. You mm-hmm. can ask anyone in the Panhandle. To go to Dumas and beat them is really hard, and to beat them by double digits, even more impressive. Canyon Randall's state ranked for a reason. I'm a big believer in the Raiders, and I think they're kind of one of those teams that no one's talking about in Region 1 because everyone, all the talk in Region 1 is kind of centered around Stephenville right now and kind of what they're going to do. Randall's a team to watch out for. I think they're the best team in the Panhandle in Class 4A Division 1. I think Randall makes a statement against Hereford. That's a good mm-hmm. Hereford team. I think Randall makes a statement that they are to be accounted for in Region 1. Give me the Randall Raiders by 2 touchdowns.
Okay. I think so. I agree. I agree on Randall. I'm very bullish on what they've got going, and I don't think it's an accident. I think they're for real, and make lay claim to be in that kind of upper crust of the Panhandle teams this year. They looked excellent this year, so that's excellent. Canyon Randall and Hereford. Got two choices here, and I think I'm going to do what's more hipstery here, which is how God intended it. Matt Stepp, let's go 7 o'clock Friday night at the Gladiator Coliseum in Italy, Texas.
Oh, yes. I've been there before.
As the 5-1, is that what I got? 5-1 Italy Gladiators welcome in the 7-0 Axtell Longhorns in a game that, in what does feel like 2A Division I's most unpredictable region, is a real sorting game. Because I think there's a greater than zero chance this is the first of two meetings between these two teams. Like, when you took a look at Region 2.
We were big on Frankston earlier this year, and Frankston's been just, mm-hmm. you know, they got drilled by Mildred last week. They're one of the more disappointing teams really in the state. So I think there's a great chance we could see these two teams play twice.
The funny thing about region two, so I'm looking like at our computer rankings right now, and I'm just like how they project out, how our friend Jerry Forrest projects out like the bracket. The eight teams that he's got in the regional or in the area round in mm-hmm. region two of 2A Division One, the highest ranked one is Mildred right now at 14. Computer loves Mildred because they're dominant. Mm-hmm. And the lowest ranked one is Frankston at 34th. So you've got eight teams all stacked up, like in a very small amount in the rankings, all pretty evenly matched. And I think two of them are right here in Italy and in Axtell. So let's talk a little bit about Italy. Italy's off to a 5-1 start on the year. They lost their opener to Scurry Rosser, which honestly is not a great loss. But since then, rattled off six straight mm-hmm. or five straight. And it is not hard to see what they want to do. They want to play defense. Their defense is just, that's what they do. They are running game with their dual threat quarterback, Jared Wood. And then they are defense.
He's the guy who had that crazy kick six against Rio Vista, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
They want to play low scoring, hard hitting defense. Okay. That is not what Axtell wants to do, at all. Axtell would like to get into a track meet with you. Mm-hmm. Cause Craig Horn, they want to get Levi Leathers and Colden Horn and all these dudes, AJ Fetch, out there just rolling. Okay.
They want to sling it around.
They want to sling it around. I mean, they got into a game earlier this year where they played Valley Mills 54-34. They want to get into a firefight with you. Their defense is fine. There's nothing special. Yeah. Their defense is okay. But I think their offense is where they really hang their hat on, especially lately. On the road to Italy is tough. I am really interested in this one, again, just because of where this kind of sorts out that wild 2A Division One Region 2. Because a winner here, you know, like if you win this, let's say the winner of this game wins the district. Mm-hmm. Your path would look something like Cayuga, Tioga, and then Mildred, as opposed to you may be seeing Wolf City in the second round, mm-hmm. which feels bad.
Yeah. Another added level of intrigue in this game. Mm-hmm. Craig Horn, former Italy head coach. Mm-hmm. And that departure was, we'll just say, acrimonious. That mm-hmm. was not a friendly departure, I would say. So this is a little extra juice to it, especially if you're on the Axtell side of Craig Horn. I guarantee you, Craig Horn, you're going to be fired up for this one.
Returning to the Coliseum. Yeah, exactly. All right, Matthew, what is your fifth and final pick?
Well, we have not been to one of my favorite parts of the state yet, Greg, and I'm going to end that right here, right now. We're headed to Beast, Texas, as we go 7 o'clock Friday night at Pirate Stadium in Longview as District 9-4A Division One gets crazy. As the Greg Tepper, have you heard the good news about the 6-1 Henderson Lions
mm-hmm.
coming to town to take on state-ranked Longview Pine Tree at 5-1 in a huge district matchup in 9-4A Division One, because Henderson, with their win over Kilgore 2 weeks ago, has sent this district into a tizzy mm-hmm. because you got now five really, really good football teams fighting for four spots, because you got Henderson, you got Pine Tree. We're going to talk about both these teams here in a minute. Kilgore, mm-hmm. who bounced back very nicely with the win over Chapel Hill last week, 42-7. You have Chapel Hill, who played for a state championship last year, very beat up right now, but they still have a win over Lindale in their back pocket, mm-hmm. and you got Lindale. Five really good teams. Someone's going to be home airing up basketballs pretty soon. Henderson, let's start with him. Clay Baker, returning to his alma mater, has done an amazing job. That program was really, really
good. He's going
to
run for mayor.
I mean, the two previous years, you know, his first year they went 2-8. The year before Baker got there, they were 1-8. 2021, four wins. 2020, three wins. It's a program that's really been struggling. They're 6-1, and that win over Kilgore has got everyone believing again in Henderson. and they're getting it done with the offense. Henderson's offense is really, really dynamic. Lamarion Coleman is a dynamic threat out wide. Vince Howard, the quarterback's done a great job. Braylon Walker, the sophomore linebacker, a running athlete, kind of a do-it-all guy. Henderson's one loss of the year was to Liberty ILO by three. Liberty ILO has turned out to be a good team. But in Henderson's first five football games of the year, they scored no less than 41 points in all five games. Now, now the last 2 weeks, they beat Kilgore 27-24. A little bit of a head-scratcher last week against Maybank. They beat Maybank 14-10, and I was a little bit at home, mind you.
Yeah.
Now, two things. Kilgore and Henderson's a huge rivalry. Henderson coming off a huge win, probably a little bit of a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
Maybank runs a slot T, and as VNA knows, slot T is the devil. And they limit possessions, keep the play keep away, so Henderson didn't have a lot of opportunities. But still, a little bit of a red flag there going up against a battle-tested Pine Tree team. Pine Tree lost that game to Kilgore 17-6 to open up district play a couple of weeks ago. But they bounced back 2 weeks ago with a win over Maybank 38-6 on the road. So you look at comparing scores here, there's really nothing you can compare.
Mm-hmm.
Henderson beat Kilgore by 3. Pine Tree lost to Kilgore by 11. Henderson beat Maybank by 4. And then Pine Tree beat Maybank by 32. No, so the comparing score games out the window here.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to come down to can Henderson's offense get back on track? Because if they can, I think they can go to Longview and beat Pine Tree. Because I don't think Pine Tree can score with them.
That's probably true, yeah.
And if that happens, we have to have a serious conversation about the Henderson Lions winning District 9 4A Division 1. But yeah. If we get into a loss, if Henderson loses this game, now we're playing the tiebreaker game between Kilgore, Henderson, and Pine Tree. And then Henderson still has to play Chapel Hill and Lindale. So Henderson, this is one of those real swing games for Henderson. They lose this game, now they're fighting for their playoff lives. Or if they win this game, we're talking about a district championship. Huge matchup. I think this is going to tell us if Henderson is really here to stay. Did they just play the game of their lives against Kilgore and really got up for that one and played over their heads? Or are they a team that's for real in 9-4A Division One?
Yeah. It's amazing for you. You called it a swing game, and it's so true, because for Henderson, like, a win here and the ceiling goes way up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a ton of downside risk here if you lose this game. Like,
yeah, missing the playoffs. Like, missing out of the playoffs is a real possibility, because now you got to play Chapel Hill and Lindale, and those are losable games for Henderson.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that win over Kilgore may not mean anything, especially if you're not in a tiebreaker situation with Kilgore. So, a lot riding on the line in this game. 9-4A Division One is a fantastic, fun district to keep an eye on. Let's get your tiebreaker scenarios ready. Mm-hmm. A lot could happen. This is one of the games that's going to tell the tale of how this district ends up the last 3 weeks of the season.
So there it is, your Week 8 game draft. Step took Quero Sinton, Frisco Emerson, Lovejoy, Brian Rutter, Brenham, Canyon Randall Herford, and Longview Pine Tree Henderson. I took Katie and Katie Jordan, Shiner and Fall City, Lake Travis Dripping Springs, Willis and Conroe, and Itley and Axtell. Apologies to Coppell and Louisville.
Yeah, yeah. Big game. Cedar Hill, Waxahachie, Cy Springs, and Cy. There's still some decent games we didn't.
Cedar Hill, Waxahachie feels like an anxiety bowl.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
That's an anxiety bowl.
Go, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, loser of that game is just like sweating.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, good little draft. Good.
I think it's better than it's not the name brand big Titanic matchup. But there's still a lot of really good high school football
games. Where it's funny, like, we're in the week between like Lake Travis Westlake and DeSoto Duncanville, but like still it's like. And by the way, when's the Task Seat at North Shore? Is that week 10?
It's
knowable.
Live coverage of me looking that up right now, Greg Tepper.
I'm gonna find out when Itasca.
I mean,
it could be Summer Creek North Shore either.
2 weeks. Itasca seated North Shore is gonna be week 9.
Week 9. So that's next week.
Next week. So we get Itasca seated North Shore and Lake Travis Westlake.
Neato, gang.
Those games we picked.
I imagine we might talk about them.
And
all right,
both of those games will be on Texan Live.
It's now time for our hipster game of the week, where we pick a game that's a little bit off the beaten path in a week that's full of hipster games. Yeah. What's your hipster game of the week?
So this game is, we talked about 19-6A a little bit. So So I'm going to give you a game that has lots of implications. Shall I interest you Thursday night? I believe this is at Legacy Stadium Thursday night. I know it's live on TexanLive.com. That was a sad horn.
That was a sad horn. Thank you.
All right. I know you're struggling from your wet bridal shower this week.
Yeah.
Together.
Her bloodstream is 90% Sauvignon Blanc right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
You could have a taste from my sweat.
God. That sounds no comment. As the 3-3 Katie Tompkins Falcons take on the 2-5 Single Ranch Cougars. And let me tell you, Greg Tepper, this is a game dripping with playoff implications. It's not dripping sweat, wine sweat from VNA.
It's at Legacy.
Yes. Okay. It's at Legacy Thursday night, live on Texan Live, as this game, I think, has huge implications for fourth place in 19-6A.
Yes.
I think the winner of this game is not in the playoffs, but has a great chance at getting the fourth place spot in 19-6A. And now, Greg Tepper, we get to the point where these kind of things really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Katie Tompkins wins this game and gets into the playoffs, most likely the Katie Tigers move into the Division I bracket.
Correct.
A lot tougher playoff road in Division I because you got North Shore, Atascocita, and Ridge Point all just kind of hanging out going, hey, come on over here, Katie. Come hang out with the big boys. Or you go Division II where still tough, but I think Katie has a lot better path.
Mm-hmm.
Cinco Ranch wins. They take a huge step towards a playoff spot and potentially sending Katie to the Division II bracket. So Katie, before their big game Friday night against Jordan, is going to be paying extra close attention to this game because their playoff path could potentially have a lot of implications on this game. So keep an eye on it. Tompkins, yes. Cinco Ranch, Thursday night, Legacy Stadium, live on Texan Live. Tompkins wins, Katie potentially going Division I. Cinco Ranch wins, Katie likely going Division II.
Okay, it's a good pick. Matt Stepp. Okay. My hipster game of the week. Matt Stepp, let's go 7 o'clock Friday night. Let's see. Oh, come on. At Bulldog Stadium. Not helpful, I know. In Thorndale, America.
Okay, Thorndale.
Thorndale. As the Thorndale welcome in our old friends, the San Saba Armadillos.
Coach Andreas Aguirre.
Absolutely. In a game that, okay, here's why it's my hipster game of the week. If you take a look at District 14, 2A, D1, I've been very 2A, D1 heavy lately.
We have.
Mason's probably winning the district, right?
Feel pretty good about that.
I think Holland's probably the second best team in that district. My opinion. 5-1, rolling right now. I think they're looking pretty good.
Running the slot T.
And the slot T is the devil. I think these are the next two teams. I think San Saba and Thorndale are both playoff teams, which is good. Winner obviously feels pretty good about getting in. All you got to do is go beat Harper or Johnson City and you're in. But more importantly, Matthew, I do not know that there is a bigger drop-off between finishing third and fourth as you will in District 14. Because if you look at your bye district matchup, they're paired up with District 13, where the winner of that district, in my opinion, in my estimation, is going to be Marlin. Okay?
And Marlin's pretty good.
And the second best team in that district is, in my estimation, significantly worse than Marlin. Mm-hmm. It might be a team like Rosebud Lot. It might be a team like Crawford. And I know normally you'd think Crawford's way down this year.
They're struggling this year, yeah.
It may be a team like Riesel. What I'm saying is, now, to be clear, if you win this game, you're probably looking at a second round matchup with Refurio. So it's not all sunshine and daffodils here. But if you lose this game and you finish fourth, you're probably getting fed to Marlin in the second round.
Yeah.
The first round, as opposed to a much more manageable first round draw.
Yeah. if you win your first round playoff game and get drilled by Refugio, hey, we were in the area playoffs.
In like the area playoffs,
I think I feel like the area playoffs is like, you know, the minimum for, you know, you could say it's a good season. For
you want a playoff game. Absolutely. Anyway, great. So my hipster game is San Saba and Thorndale. What is, where are you going this week? What's your travel plans?
So I will be back in Texas Wednesday evening. I fly back Wednesday to be back in my, you know, my home state. I'm sitting in my home in Canada, but my home state is Texas. And so Thursday night, I will be at Kincaid Stadium as the Woodrow Wilson Wildcats take on the South Oak Cliff Golden Bears in a game that I think is going to decide District 5, 5A Division 2. And I know South Oak Cliff's a big favorite, right?
Woodrow's the second best team, though.
Yes, it's a district championship game. I may have gotten invited to a South Oak Cliff tailgate with free food. We're not going to talk about that. You know, just saying. Shout out my guy Doug Grace there at South Oak Cliff for inviting me to the tailgate. Could have some burgers, some brisket.
That's elite right there.
And how do I get invited to the cookout?
I did get invited to the cookout. This is amazing. It's going to be great. I'm going to take – I don't take pictures and tweet out I got invited to the cookout. thank you to South Oak Cliff for inviting me out. It was awesome. Friday night, we had a little game at a place called Falcon Stadium in Corinth, Texas.
You can go to the three shot here, V. Let's bring you in full screen.
Bring full screen, V.
Yeah.
If you say so.
It's a big game in District 7-4A Division 1 as the 5-1 Lake Dallas Falcons take on the 6-1 Frisco Panther Creek Panthers. A big game. This is I don't want to say a must win for Lake Dallas, but it's a huge game for them because they already got a loss to Paris. You still got to play Salina. You still got to play Sulphur Springs. You still got to play Aubrey. Lake Dallas needs this one. Panther Creek's playing well after getting punted in the sun by Salina. They've come back. They're playing better football. Big game. Coach Young says there's going to be a big crowd at Lake Dallas. It's going to be a rowdy atmosphere. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks wearing green. We might get a live shot of me on the sidelines at this one on Texas Football Tonight. Just saying, V&A, I'm taking your suggestions on where to go in Lake Dallas, unless your mom wants to cook like something for me homemade.
Will be about like, you could walk to my house. My house.
You should park at V&A's house and walk.
Yeah, can you park at your mom's house and walk over?
Of course. Go ahead. I will be at UNT.
Okay, so that's my Friday night game. Should be a really good game. It's a big game in 7-4A Division 1. I'm actually going to be on the sidelines for this one, not in press box, on the sidelines.
Take some pics of the nest.
We'll get the nest going. And we'll do, hopefully, on Texas Football Tonight, we can get a live hit from me from the sidelines. So there you go. V&A, who's going to win?
Lake Dallas, FFFAL.
There you go. C-O-N-S?
C-C-C-O-N. It's not no kick 'em Colts, but it's, you get the idea.
Yeah, okay. I like it. Steffer, you're out of here.
Oh, I'm getting demoted.
It's Stefan Moreno all of a sudden over here. Yeah, so, there you go. I'm excited to visit V&A's alma mater. Check out the Falcons. Should be a big game. I'm actually going to have a friend from Canada with me as well. So just saying.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Canadians in Lake Dallas.
Yes. So, and then Saturday, I'll be in the Alamo City for San Antonio Johnson and San Antonio Madison. Madison's really struggling this year, but I get to see Johnson. Big win over Reagan in the Stone Oak Super Bowl last week.
Huge win.
That's right, the Stone Oak Super Bowl in San Antonio. San Antonio Johnson beat San Antonio Reagan 21-3, gives themselves pretty much the inside track to the district championship. Going to talk. T.P. Miller called it at Cogent School. We were a little worried about Johnson, so now Ty Hawkins is gone to IMG. Wishing the best, but you know, we don't cover Florida high school football, so sorry, Ty. You got that dog in you, but you just don't have that dog in you in Texas anymore. But he told us, he goes, we're gonna be fine, we're gonna be okay. And they've been fine. They're 5-1, inside track to the district championship. So I'm gonna get a good look at Johnson and see them. And then I'm taking my Canadian buddy to meet Tierra. So
nice
in San Antonio. So we're gonna shovel cheese enchiladas as a great man. And if you know, you know about that story.
While we're talking about alma maters, it is also a big weekend for my mom's alma mater. The Oak Cliff Super Bowl is this week. Carter Kimball.
Yeah, I tried to talk to Mallory about getting that game on Texan Live. Yeah. It's Saturday. It's a Saturday game at 2 o'clock.
It's a good game, too. I think it's a good game.
It's a district championship game. Like, the district title is on the line.
Carter Kimball is not always great. Because they can be kind of uneven sometimes, but they feel like they're both pretty good. So anyway, I am contractually obligated.
For Coppell.
And a big game for Coppell.
Coppell Louisville.
Cowboy fight never dies.
There you go.
Let's go to V&A Marino and tiny V&A Marino and find out what you write down.
Tiny V&A, yay! I was on the whole time. So live reactions.
I know.
I thought I wasn't going to get a lot, but I actually did because I highlight them. I like circle them and whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. First one. There is Matt Stepp trashing every six-man team.
Yeah. Or no, every undefeated team.
Yeah, please don't get me.
No, he was not trashing
enough. Yeah,
he was not trashing his six-man teams. He got a lot
every undefeated team. Every undefeated team. Sorry, I have to. I'm running them really quickly. Followed by you are all trash. So, anyways, I think you'd have me checked into a rehab facility.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
What was that one for? Anyways,
that one. No, yeah,
there's no telling. The
Shiner and Falls City.
Yeah. Okay, I don't want to get a track meet. I don't want to get in a track meet with Todd Dodge's Lovejoy Leopards.
Correct.
Don't get caught peeking. Can you explain that?
Yeah, you don't want to be caught looking ahead. It's the look ahead letdown. You don't want to Lake Travis has a really big game next week. Make sure you're focused on this week's game because the team they're playing in Dripping Springs
is good enough to beat.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Of course, Greg Powers. I loved him. Loved the little shout out. Greg Powers calls you a freak show, and he means it. So, And that was it.
Okay. Thanks, V&A. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber, or at least for watching till the end. Yeah. If you're watching for free. And Step, thanks for your courage. Safe travels.
Be back next week, y'all.
All right. Talk to you next week on Tep and Step.
Go Hawkins.